Obviously, the agenda shows to you that over the next couple of days, we're going to be spending a lot of time on employment assistance legislation, benefits legislation, and some of the specific aspects of those of that legislation. The agenda planners thought it might be helpful to start off with, though, to step back from the nuts and bolts and look a little bit at the big picture. And as we've labeled the session for the afternoon, somewhat tantalizingly, the prospect for challenging that legislation. We have a speaker this afternoon, Pat McDonald from the BCPAC, who is, as many of you may know, part of a national committee through her organization with the Canadian Bar Association that is looking at and is committed to a number of legislative challenges in many areas, quite frankly, that may include this legislation, legal aid legislation across the country, and perhaps many other statutes that have a charter aspect to them that are disadvantaging our clients, and that we may be able to look to the charter for some kind of remedy. So I am going to welcome and invite Pat to come and give us an update.
Well, thanks for the applause, but frankly, my applause should start out with going to all of you, and I really mean that. I'm sitting here and I was just so blown away by all of the good ideas that you had. I mean, your biggest strength is that, you know, you have yourselves, and I've continually been amazed when I've been involved in the community groups how rewarding it is to meet all of you and to understand what you're doing and the work that you do. It's just phenomenal. So I want to tell you a little bit about how lawyers can assist you in that. You're going to get some handouts. And they are is I'm going to talk about challenging the legislation. So there's three ways to challenge legislation. The three ways are an intervention, class action, and a test case litigation. You don't have the handouts right now, but you will get handouts of what I'm saying on the next three pieces, so don't worry about taking notes. So I wanted to talk first about test case litigation, and I wanted to explain what it is. And that's when a party supports a case through the court system in order to make public interest arguments on a particular issue. The strengths of a test case is that you get an opportunity to develop the law for future law reform. So for an example, test case can be something like you have a situation where someone, let's take something right now within the current mess that our government has gotten us into. Let's say that you've got someone who has a disability, and he hasn't been granted PPMB status, and he hasn't been granted PWD status. And according to the new legislation, he'd have to have an employment plan. And the employment plan that he enters into with the EAW would have a series of tasks that he would have to perform. Now, let's say that the EAW decided that he could do more than he actually could do, and this person couldn't do the tasks that he had agreed to do, because you have to agree to this plan in order to maintain your eligibility for benefits. So he can't do the tasks because of his disability. That means he gets cut off of welfare. So a test case then would come in and it would challenge what was being done in that situation by having that person. I'm actually looking at test case litigation, the first one of those three sheets that you have. So a test case would then frame the law to get some kind of order from the government, some kind of language from the government that would describe to the government what their responsibility is in drawing up these employment plans for persons who have some very special characteristics involving their health. That would be one situation of a test case. So some of the strengths are it allows the courts to rethink how laws might be altered, and so that it can deliver on the guarantees in the Constitution. It allows groups to raise issues in the court system that might not otherwise come up. These are the kind of things that you wouldn't be able to raise as effectively in the tribunal system. And it gives an opportunity to work in collaboration with other social justice organizations. We've also put the weaknesses on the other side of the page, and it's a costly and time-consuming process. One of the test cases that I worked on last year took 3 months to pull together the arguments, and then it took another 2 weeks to argue it. So you're looking at a pretty comprehensive case. You also have the problem is when you're developing a theory of equality through a case-by-case basis. That means you bring one case and then you bring another case on another point. Sometimes they don't fit together very well. You also reinforce existing social inequities by using the courts because they're not universally accessible. So that means really that not everyone is going to be able to go to court, and only some of these things will get litigated, even though many of them will need to be litigated. You've got the difficulty of translating equality. I'm going to say right now, I know this isn't written in plain language, and I haven't written this, and this is written by the West Coast Legal Education Action Fund, so please go ahead and ask me questions if you don't understand some of the words that are used here, or if I haven't explained them. I'm trying to explain them as we go along. But throw out the paper. So essentially, you've got, when you're making an equality argument, what you're asking the court for in all of these cases, and I'll briefly touch on the other two, what you're asking the court for is something that is extraordinary. You're asking the court to say, this is our Charter of Rights and Freedoms. This grants us the rights in Canada. And we want you to make that a living document. We want you to look at our welfare system and make it comply with that Charter of Rights and Freedoms that we're all supposed to have. So all of these things, the strengths and the weaknesses, essentially it's talking about how difficult that can be, because you want the court to do something extraordinary. You want a bunch of white middle-aged males who are older than privileged males, very definitely privileged males, majority of the judges are still of that ilk. And you have to tell them why it's so important from something that's not even within their understanding of how they live life. So the test case litigation is one way to do that, and that's by bringing one case at a time and changing the law a little bit. A very good example of how the law was changed one case at a time was the Robotham order. Now, Robotham was a man that didn't qualify for legal aid for a criminal charge. He went to court and he said, the Constitution guarantees a right to life, liberty, and security of the person. And therefore, I need to have legal aid because I have a potential to go to jail from this charge, so you have to give me legal counsel. That was a test case. Now it started a flood of those kind of decisions across the country, and that was a case in Ontario, and they used that law here. And now people that didn't qualify for legal aid in the criminal law sphere are now getting legal aid for those type of things. Okay, that's a test case. The next one that I have there is an intervention. And an intervention is there's a case that's already started, and you might intervene on it to bring out some aspect that would have an impact on a group that particular case might not otherwise think of. So I'll give you another example. I'm going to make up a hypothetical. So let's say in the Robotham case, it might have been very interesting for somebody to come in, for example, West Coast Leaf, which does legal education work on behalf of women, would have been really interesting for them to come in and make an argument and say, you know, we understand why this person might need this legal aid, but there's only so much legal aid to go around, and if you provide legal aid for those persons, what's going to happen to family law legal aid? So that would be an example of an intervention in a case where something's already going on, and you come in and try to get the court to see how their order, their decision, might impact on some other group. So that's an intervention, another way to get in front of the courts. And there's strengths and weaknesses here. Again, they're not as costly as a test case, but you have less control because it's not your case. Somebody else has already framed all the arguments, and you are just coming in for this one little piece. There's some other strengths and weaknesses there that you can read at your leisure. Now, the last one is the class action proceedings. And this is when a person has a number of people decide to go to court and ask for a judgment. It's always a compensation. They're always asking for a damages. There's many examples. The breast implant, that was test case. The Hep C awards, those were test cases. So that would be getting together a number of people and then showing the court there's a particular test that you have to go through and showing the court that all these people have the same kind of interests. And instead of doing this on a case-by-case basis, you put them all together, you have one case. Very, very difficult to get to that first stage where you convince the court that all these people have the same interest and it should be one case. Once you've gotten to that stage, it's pretty easy to go along with the rest of it. So the first hurdle is just getting your class certified. That's what it's called. The advantages and disadvantages, the strength is it's an effective way for a group to get together, but of course the weakness is that it's incredibly expensive to get that group together. There's some other strengths and weaknesses there. Probably the most important is that it's more effective when you're looking for compensation rather than a charter remedy or a policy change, such as, for example, when I described the Robotham legal aid test case, which was getting a policy decision on the right to court representation. So I threw away those sheets because as I was reading them, I was thinking, you know, I'm not very comfortable going through this. So I thought I'd just talk off my head, which I am more comfortable doing. So you've actually got a number of resources that can help you bring these things. The three there are probably almost always done by lawyers. I would think it would be difficult for someone who is self-represented to do the case. It's not impossible. But these ones would normally be done by lawyers. So where do you get your lawyers from? Okay, well, one thing is, if you have a board of directors, get a lawyer on it. And I'm not kidding you. They can be really, really good allies for you from so many different resources. And there's tons of people out there like me that their heart is really in the right place, and they want to help, and they want to do something, they just don't know what to do. Well, you can help them figure out what to do. So in your communities, talk to someone who knows a lawyer and go and talk to that person, ask them to be on your board of directors. If they can't assist you with some case such as this, because they're quite expensive, they might know somebody else that can, and they might know somebody else, and eventually you've got a community of people that you could turn to in order to get you legal assistance. Another way to get assistance is that there's three Law Foundation funded programs. There's our program, which is BC Public Interest Advocacy Center. There's CLASS, the Community Legal Assistance Group. And then there's also the Poverty and Human Rights Project. And all of those people have lawyers that work on these type of cases. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with Gwen Brodsky and David Mossop. They've been around for a while. They're at those two different organizations and, of course, us. A last one that you might want to consider is the Law Society Pro Bono website. It's a new website. And the Law Society wants to be more involved in the community, which I think is a really great thing. For a long time, lawyers have been more concerned or have the perception that they're more concerned with billings rather than maybe the reasons why they went to law school in the first place. So now I think they're getting back to the reasons why some people went to law school in the first place, and that was to change the world and do some good, I think. And they've put together this website, and what it does is it meets people with problems and lawyers that want to provide some type of solutions. So I'll make sure that something goes up on PovNet about that in the next week, if it's already gone. I'm not on PovNet right now. We've got computer problems, so I'm out of the loop. So those are some resources in order to get lawyers to assist you in these kind of problems. And then finally, I wanted to talk a little bit about some things that I've identified that are problems in the current legislation that I think are potentially challenged underneath the charter and why. Well, first, legal aid. I think that's challengeable under the charter. And I can tell you that we're working on a case with a number of groups, and there will be something going ahead in the new year. The reason And stop me if you don't want to hear details, but the reason that we think that legal aid is a charter right is because when someone's life, liberty, and security of the person is threatened, we believe that they deserve a right to a fair hearing if something's going to be taken away from them, such as their welfare or disability, medical benefits, perhaps their housing. Those types of issues. We believe those threaten your rights to life, liberty, and security of the person. And in order for you to ensure that you have those rights, you need legal representation of some sort so that you can protect yourself. We're worried about the welfare bans. There's a number of them. Some of them are obviously less severe than others. There's only, as you know now, that the actual legislation out, the only lifetime ban is for your third conviction under the criminal code for welfare fraud. The rest of them are all quite a bit less, ranging from you don't get welfare until you provide us this particular piece of information that we need to, let's say, a month ban or a little bit of money off your check every month, $100 off your check each month until it's on for 3 months. So they do range. We're concerned about those. We already think that the welfare rates are obviously inadequate, as you know. There's a case in Ontario that's actually looking at it. Most of you will be familiar with Kimberly Rogers and what happened to her. Now, since she's died, her challenge is going on in somebody else's name. So we don't know when it's going to be heard. I have heard that they expect it to be sometime in the new year, but the wheels of justice do move very slowly. I'm worried about the two-year attachment to the workforce. I'm not quite sure what's, I'm not sure if it's just random and there's just people here and there are being missed or how many people are being missed and if there's any identifiable group amongst them. And I think it'd be really interesting to find out and counting on the advocates to let us know what's happening with those. Yeah, go ahead.
Just about that two-year work thing, we've had in Victoria newer immigrants who do not have the proper documentation from their countries of origin, and as well as the $14,000 minimum pay, which is included in that two-year minimum. And most people, you know, if they're leaving their country of origin, they're not making $7,000 Canadian a year.
Yeah. So there's an identifiable.
Someone has been cut off. We're working with a tax, who, for not making $7,000 from Zimbabwe. So
yeah, I think I was talking to Tim Bailey about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but just to like let everyone know about that, this is a big, this is a serious threat.
Yeah, for new immigrants.
For new immigrants.
And sex trade workers trying to exit the profession as well. Who are not able to access the system.
I mean, these are exactly the kind of cases that would make great test case litigation. In a rather bizarre and grim side effect of this is the most interesting and exciting litigation that I've ever had the opportunity to be involved with. Isn't that ironic that it's at the expense of people's lives? It's just so sad. The only upside is that some of the law that we hope to develop with people like CLASS and with Poverty and Human Rights Project will hopefully put into place some kind of guarantees and some language that will make it impossible to do this kind of thing again. So the two-year attachment, huge problem. The welfare, 2 out of 5 years. Already the stuff that's coming out of the States is just showing that this policy hasn't worked. When it was first put in the United States, they had a fairly good economy, and as the economy has started to soften in the United States, the people are just leaving welfare, and a lot of them are giving up their kids. That's happening because they can't afford to keep their kids, and they're still not off the system. So very concerned about that one, and the clock's already ticking.
You had any news about the legal challenge to that in the United States? There wasn't a legal challenge for a long time, and now they have launched one?
No, I haven't. The question was whether I'd heard anything about the United States challenge that has apparently just been launched, and I haven't heard about it, but I'll look on the net and see if I can find it, and I'll remember to put it out on PubNet. And I had a question in the back. Okay. The right to apply for welfare, of course, this brand new system. I mean, they had already started to move towards it with the orientation sessions that they had, and now they've got this 3-year employment that you have to show that you're seeking work for 3 weeks. And I mean, we all know it's just ludicrous. That one, I'm really wondering how to challenge. I see that one as less of a that one's going to be an interesting legal argument. I see the other ones as being potentially easier to make, not easier to win, just easier to make. That one, I find that it has a lot of problems involved in it. It might not be the easiest legal argument, but I think it has an impact on everyone out there. And the government's saving millions of dollars through it, of course.